Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat, mending the nets. And immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The account of Jonah in the Old Testament is one that everyone knows. It's about a prophet that is called to go to Nineveh, but tries very hard to go in the opposite direction, and by way of a boat and a bad storm, is swallowed by a giant fish. But Jonah is given a second chance by the Lord, and his mission is a great success. Unfortunately, Jonah becomes angry with God because of it, and the entire scene ends with a divine rebuke of Jonah. Now, this quick outline here shows us a very reluctant prophet. You see, Jonah did not choose to be a prophet. He was a weak and sinful man, very much like all of us. And when his call came, he desperately wanted to avoid it. But it's here, after the first failed mission and 3 days in the great fish, that we pick up our reading here in chapter 3. Here he is called to the vocation of a prophet a second time. And this time, he goes to the city he desperately wants to avoid. Now, there are plenty of things that Scripture tells us to do. Have we, like Jonah, tried to avoid them? This is the season of Epiphany. Jesus has come to shine a light of salvation on all mankind, even to places like Nineveh. So the question is, what is your Nineveh? Nineveh's can be quite frightening. Jonah's was, for certain. It was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. In our terms, we would call it the belly of the beast. The Assyrian Empire was one of the most violent, cruel empires in the history of the world. When they conquered a nation or a territory, it was common for them to slaughter most of the people and enslave the rest. The leaders of this nation held power by threats, destruction, and oppression. Imagine Jonah walking straight into the middle of town with his I Heart Yahweh t-shirt on and begins preaching to the purveyors of international terrorism. Not exactly the poster that the LCMS International Mission Center in St. Louis would use to recruit missionaries. But into the capital city Jonah goes to proclaim the destruction of that very city. What Jonah did not know is what that this nation would one day do to the northern kingdom of Israel. You see, at the end of the 8th century, Yahweh would use the Assyrians to invade and devastate the northern tribes. Brutal killings, towns destroyed, people taken into slavery. The Lord had sent many prophets, like Jonah, to the northern kingdom, calling them to repentance, but they refused. But this is not about Israel. It's about Nineveh. And Jonah now finds himself in the center of the city. It was a large city, 3 days' journey, the text tells us. This would also include the surrounding neighborhoods and suburbs, so to speak. There was no place to hide. There was no place to run. He was now in the hands of the Ninevites. For days, Jonah is exposed to life-threatening dangers at the hands of the Assyrians. For days, Jonah stood face-to-face with people proclaiming a message that was not very popular. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. For days, Jonah preached in all parts of the city. Certainly, he must have been offending the merciless who would want him silenced. For days, Jonah is without a boat to run to get away. He is in Nineveh, and there is nothing to do but preach the word of God. The message was God's word, certainly not Jonah's. If it was, it would have completely failed. But these eight words of God was enough. The people of Nineveh believed. That means these eight words of God carried the Holy Spirit with them, creating faith. How do we know? Because the text tells us they believed God. Even the king joined in by leaving his throne and sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Even the animals were called to do the same. Because all the city had heard these words, the king calls on all the people to turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. The people turned from their evil ways while sitting in sackcloth and ashes. In other words, the people repented. Outward acts do not free the sinner, but repentance does. The king understood this. He says, who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. For us, along with Jonah, this is a very difficult reading. We humans often want to write off those who seem to us the epitome of evil in humanity. Surely there can be no salvation for those people over there, people like these. And in our own self-righteousness, we turn away from those we consider unforgivable. But God doesn't do that. That's the miracle of his divine grace. The miracle is that it is way more powerful than human sin. The Ninevites were the worst people on the face of the earth. And yet, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do. It was the same grace and mercy shown to Jonah in his second call to Nineveh after running away from the first. He was forgiven and restored. And through his preaching, so was Nineveh. How quickly Jonah forgot all this. He had forgotten the grace God poured out on him and became angry when God poured it out on the Ninevites. Our world is filled with what we would call modern Ninevehs. Nineveh was the center of a truly evil empire, and that same evil has permeated all of human history. From Cain murdering his brother to October 7th in southern Israel and all points in between. Human hate and violence in ancient and modern nations have brought a divine sentence of wrath and condemnation for all. But make no mistake here, God is the world's creator and he is also our judge. And judgment is always pure and perfect. The Lord sent Jonah into a dark and rebellious place in the same way he had prophets before him and after him. But everything would change one day when the Father would send his Son into our world. Talk about a dark and rebellious place to go. Jesus came, and from the moment of his conception, he began to deal with every sin and evil act of the ancient Assyrians. And of every time and of every place, including our own. Jesus, the Son of God, would be the great and final prophet whose sacrifice and proclaimed word would redeem our fallen and hurting world. He would defeat sin and death by dying and rising, and continues to bind Satan every time a sinful human being repents and is baptized, and every time we, the redeemed, gather here and share in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. You see, God's judgment is also perfect as to its mercy. What changed eternity for the Assyrians, for Jonah, for Israel, and for all of us here this morning came not through the destruction, but instead through the punishment of all sin. Not on the sinner, but once and for all upon the sinful sacrificial lamb. No wrath was directed at the sinful human race, but rather upon Jesus, who was broken for us, whose blood was shed for our forgiveness. You see, human sin must be dealt with by divine justice. But the love of Jesus compelled him to offer himself to carry all of humanity's sins. This is why the center point of all of human history is found on a hill called Calvary and an empty tomb. Christ is risen is the heart of all things. It is the redemption of every empire, every race, and every language in this created world. Now, there are places to which you and I might not want to go, and times where we may not want to speak the gospel. But no matter your vocation, the Lord will lead you through a world with many places as rebellious and broken as the ancient city of Nineveh. So then, the question remains, where is your Nineveh? Is God leading you to don Jonah's t-shirt and stand in the middle of Tehran, of Riyadh, of Gaza City? Maybe for you, it's to stand with a friend, a neighbor, or even a family member. Remember, there is nothing that can take you from God's hand. He who created you and redeemed you in Jesus embraced you in the waters of baptism, and he holds you close in his holy supper. It is he who is the savior of all people, of every time and nation. He is yours. Your life is found in his resurrection, and nothing can ever take that away from you. That means the worst Nineveh, past, present, and future, that is death itself, cannot hold on to you on the day of the resurrection of all flesh. Jesus lives, and you too shall live. Amen.